The C-SPAN networks bring you long-form public affairs programming from the nation's capital and are a public service of your television provider. C-SPAN, created by cable.
Order. The House Committee on Energy, Commerce, and Cloud Chasing will come to order. Welcome, everyone, to today's hearing on the pernicious influence of podcasts, podcasting, and podcasters on American society today. I will now briefly recognize myself to make an opening statement of some personal interest to myself. The other day, I went to pick up my son, Buck, knee-high to a grasshopper, 9 years old. Sweet boy, smart boy, is going to do a lot in the world. Well, I go home to pick up Buck, go on our annual fishing trip for his birthday. And I said, Buck, it's time. It's time for us to go fishing. Buck said, Daddy, I don't want to go fishing. And I said, but Buck, you love fishing. And he said, Daddy, I want to stay at home and make diarrhea noises on the internet. Now, some terrorists use guns. Some terrorists use bombs to inflict their misery upon our children. These despicable worms before us today, well, they use diarrhea jokes. I guess what I'm having trouble understanding, maybe you can help me understand it, but what exactly is so funny to you both about the idea of diarrhea? I've had diarrhea. The rank members had diarrhea. I bet everyone in this room has had diarrhea, Mr. Cesar, Mr. Chef Boyardee. What exactly is so funny to you about someone taking a big stinker, a big splasheroo in their toilet, a big stinker coming out of your butthole, a big smelly brown thing down your legs? What's so funny about that? I want to know. I want to understand. I want to try to understand the sickness that goes on in your head. That's what I'm trying to wrap my mind around so I can go home and look my son in the eye when he tells me diarrhea is funny. Well, I don't think diarrhea is funny at all.
I'm not sure I understand the question, sir.
I think it's pretty funny. For the record.
Order. Now, Mr. Mike Meatballs, have you ever had diarrhea before with your various pastas and oils that you're eating?
Yes, I have.
So let me understand. When another person has diarrhea, suddenly that's a funny joke. Suddenly that's a comedy show, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, so you're just nothing short of a Tennessee pervert, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Cesar? Like Mr. Cesar.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I was, my friend just sent me a really funny picture of this guy's diarrhea.
A picture of diarrhea?
Yeah, me and my friends like to just kind of send each other joke photos of diarrhea. Not seriously, but just joke photos of it. You know, it's like, there's a joke.
Order.
I'll put my phone away.
I think this body has heard just about enough from the likes of people like Mr. Cesar and Mr. Calls it gravy, even though it is clearly sauce, whatever your name is. This body has heard enough testimony and is ready to make a decision regarding your fate. By unanimous consent, we find that the host of this awful podcast will be condemned to an eternity of hellfire localized completely within their own asshole.
All is doing cat.
Human beatbox, Christopher Cesar.
Chica.
Bow, bow. Chica. You know what's great is that this will be the first people hear of us after like a week or so.
Yeah,
our last show.
And a lot has happened in the past week.
Yeah.
John F. Kennedy was shot.
Is he okay?
I think so.
Mm.
Right?
Man, what a pisser.
Woo! Well, maybe we should not pretend that it's only been a week.
Okay.
Maybe we should take it. We should.
You want to just put. You just.
Just pull, blow the entire bit.
You just pulled the curtain back.
I did.
See, folks, what was going to happen was that my esteemed co-host, Chris Caesar, was going to lie to you all
and say
that we've only been off the air for a week.
Because you guys are stupid enough to fucking believe that.
I said we have smart listeners.
And I was like, these fucking diarrhea heads, you think they know jack
these
shit about
maggots.
Exactly, these little worms.
Folks, we're off to a great start. This is This Awful Podcast.
I think we're really getting in the...
I don't know. We're getting into it.
Yeah, I'm feeling the fucking
energy. You're feeling
energy.
It? Yeah.
I'm vibing out.
It's only taken about 6 hours. You were like, hey, look, Mike, I don't give a fuck. It's my Friday. And I'm like, well, that's great because it's my Monday.
And I was like, who cares? Yeah. Who even are you?
Yeah, like, what's work, you know? Like,
right. That always confuses me when you say that.
Seriously.
Like, I have to work tomorrow. Yeah. Like, for who?
Like what I'm sorry, I got a job and a mortgage and, you know, this thing. You're like, yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. How about no?
I'm going to try writing that on a piece of paper, sending it to my mortgage company. And they're like, oh, yeah, sorry, you're 6 months behind. I'm like, how about no?
And then just right back owned.
Got our asses. So I believe this is episode 41.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. This podcast is a little bit
so just for the sake of record keeping, it's July 2021, right? Yeah,
that's right.
We started this in July 2018. So we're 3 years into this.
Technically, we've got even earlier. Oh, I guess if we're doing the episode,
The prior incarnation of our podcast is...
We don't talk about that.
No, we don't. That is the uncle that we don't talk about.
So, Mike, pretty weird to be back in the saddle with you, huh, pal?
Extremely weird.
Feeling...
Extremely weird, yet very familiar.
Yeah.
Given that it's two...
So true.
Given that it's 2:10 in the morning. I have to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't.
I don't know.
You got the day off tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, to be clear...
You do some weird, I think.
To be clear, you just have the day off tomorrow.
I'm not supposed to be unemployed, I guess you mean.
I don't want to imply that you're unemployed.
I would prefer people assume that.
Okay,
you
right.
know. Yeah.
Whatever it takes to...
Folks,
to...
I haven't had a job in 10 years.
Oh, that's true.
That's kind of all I have.
Totally. So, what have you been up to for the past year?
Oh, man, just honestly...
Just jerking off?
Fucking... Yeah, just being... Like, I thought I was a complete piece of shit, you know what I mean? Before the pandemic, and then the pandemic hit. I really took it to the next fucking level, dude.
Like, you really were able to come into your own.
My final form has finally come into being.
Excellent.
And just like everything's delivered. I'd never leave the house. I mean, you see this beard, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's been wild, man.
I cut my beard for this podcast. It was down here.
You did?
Not for this podcast.
Okay.
When people started going into the office again at my work, that's when I cut my beard. I'm like, all right, I legit grew for a year. It was pretty long, man.
Oh, wow.
So you're going to ask me what I was up to?
Oh, yeah, right. I'm going to do that. Yeah, Mike, what have you been up to?
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a darn thing?
No.
What's the most fun that you've had over the past 20 months? Got to be this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the pinnacle.
This is
the 20 months has led to this.
It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Good time.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
I remember we were basically like, all right, let's take a break for Christmas in like 2019.
Did we do that?
Yeah.
Didn't we come back for one show?
I think we tried to record it, but it didn't work out.
We did. We did record it. We recorded it before the pandemic.
Oh.
And then I think I pieced it together, like when I realized, shit, we're probably not recording for a while.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I think I pieced it together, and I threw in some of the old bits, like the Scientology bit.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, what a fucking great bit that was. I have been dying to put that Scientology bit into something. What a great story.
It's so weird, man.
Just The part that always cracked me up at the end was when they he did the e-reader on you. Oh, wow. You thinking about your family? Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that must be stressful. Wow. How perceptive. You are a fucking master. That part cracked me up so fucking hard, man.
That guy had to be like 25 or something.
Sometimes I paint my nails.
I used to paint my nails. I used to be crazy.
Wow, you listen to My Chemical Romance?
So. Folks, you know, it's been a while since we've been able to rap at you. And I'm really excited we're able to do it tonight. And I'm kind of thinking, what would be fun? Look back over the past 20 months. What would be something fun to share from our time apart that would... And I just couldn't help but come back to this little interaction that I had with the Spokane sheriff.
Cool guy.
A few months ago. Very chill guy who is not a nerd.
No.
Has never been owned in his life. We're definitely not going to email him a copy of this segment afterwards, making fun of him. Don't look up his email address and send him mean things or anything
Absolutely
like that.
Not.
That would be really bad.
Don't look at Chris Caesar's tweet from September 4th, 2020.
Yeah, because that has this email in it, and that would be really bad.
That'd be extremely bad.
So, just to give a little context for this incident.
I think we need some context around it.
First came across this guy reading an article in Huffington Post, and it was an interview with this activist out in Spokane who claimed that he was basically picked up in an unmarked van.
Yeah, totally normal. Normal country stuff.
The officers never showed him a badge. They just drove up in a van, unmarked, kind of came out, grabbed them in front of people. And people were like, who the hell are you? You know, kind of scary.
These were just protests, right? These are part of the...
I think this was a police brutality thing. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right. Okay, sorry. Just wanted to get a little context there.
Yeah, sure. So they just run by and pick him up in a van. Logan says the officers drove him in the van to a rendezvous point four or five blocks away where he was put in a Spokane Police Department car and taken to the county jail downtown. Sure. Apparently, he was picked up on like a year's old warrant from a different county, which is pretty suspicious.
Yes.
And seems post hoc reason to...
Yeah, I think that's legit, huh? Post hoc, yeah. No, you're right, though.
Yeah, like, oh, we want to get this guy. Oh, look, a warrant that no one cared about until now.
Yeah, exactly.
In a separate statement, this is the sheriff that I know and love and have come to really admire. He lashed out at Huffington Post for writing this story. I know it's difficult for the Huffington Post to understand the rule of law, the sheriff said. The sheriff who was putting people in unmarked vans.
Yeah. Rule of law.
They seem to have forgotten that we're a country of laws. They've also forgotten their duty to our country to provide unbiased, factual reporting per the protections provided by the Constitution of the United States. I found the sheriff's statement to be underwhelming. So I went into Gmail, pulled up a little email, managed to find his official email address on the Spokane Sheriff page, put in a little trick I like to do. To make sure that somebody opens a mean email that you're sending them is to send it with a subject that's very innocuous or maybe even something that would be interesting or important to them. So I put in there important info re-Antifa in the subject.
Yeah.
And then you also have to be sure that the first few words seem like this is going to actually be the email the subject is implying.
Okay.
So then that bitch is definitely going to open it.
Yeah, that's right.
So I just write, sir, I have some important intelligence to share about Antifa that I wanted to share with law enforcement. They fucking rock. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And I didn't think that he would write me back. I just thought I was blown off.
You really underestimated the psychoticness of this sheriff.
This guy does not like to be owned.
Mm-mm.
So I sent that to him, and then he responds at 12:30, and so it must have been a couple hours of that after I send it, and he says, you free for a call. So not only is this guy emailing me back, he wants to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
This guy is a sheriff of a town in fucking Oregon.
This is his highest priority of the day.
So I replied, LOL, no, I have a real job, unfortunately. So I was pretty proud of that one.
Nah, that was great.
And following that, he replies again. Well, you proved one point. True journalism is truly done.
Ooh.
Which is, that's smart.
Got your ass.
True journalism is truly done.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Yeah. Oh, and thanks for the great optic / talking for my podcast / radio show and press conference.
Oh, man.
I think he meant to say talking point.
Yeah.
Thanks for the great optic talking from my podcast radio.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck, man?
So, oh, yeah. And so I replied with the SpongeBob meme with alternating text, just repeating, well, you prove one point. True journalism is truly done. Threw the SpongeBob meme on it and said, here's a live picture of your press conference attached.
Oh, that was great, man.
So I didn't think it would go much beyond that. And then the following Monday or Tuesday, I see that this Huffington Post reporter who wrote that original story is tweeting about this guy. And the HuffPo reporter writes, Sheriff of Spokane County didn't care for a recent story I wrote about his office arrest of a protester. So yesterday he did a 45-minute press conference about it.
45 minutes.
At one point, he displayed a tweet from a random Twitter troll as evidence that I might have some Antifa sympathies. Mm. Now, he's not even referring to me there. This guy seems to be like a magnet for trolls. But I was like, I wonder, since he said, like, thanks for the optic for my press conference, would I be in there? So I pulled up the stream of this fucking press conference and hopped around, and wouldn't you know it, something very special happened.
Let's go to the video.
This is another from an individual. And Daniel, I'm going to give you the entire slide deck so you don't have to worry about it.
He's telling that reporter, don't worry about writing everything down because I'm going to give you the entire slide deck.
The entire slide deck.
Which is so funny to me. Like, the this entire reporter gives a shit.
Yeah. Well, true journalism is truly done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know that.
As he noted.
This individual, Chris Caesar, says that he's worked in for the Washington Post, Boston Globe, a few others. Sent me this saying, hey, have some intelligence to share about Antifa. They effing rock. Tell me that the media isn't biased towards Antifa.
Now, can we just point something out here?
Of course.
He blanked out fucking.
He did?
He left in your email address.
And my fucking phone number.
He left in your phone number and email address. But did he block his own
out? He blocked his own out.
What a stupid fucking idiot.
And it's like on his website. It's just like Sheriff at Spokane, you know? And he's telling the reporter there, like, oh, don't worry, I have this. He was definitely trying to get these fucking reporters to call me or something. And of course, none of them did, you fucking loser. None of them did.
You're going to buy a better fitting shirt here, pal.
Yeah, that looks like fucking shit, brother.
Like the Spokane County Sheriff's Office really is going to increase their polo shirt budget.
Yeah, that's a cool burlap
sack. That's really bad.
Oh, and by the way, this is all like blown up on a PowerPoint slide.
He's presenting it. I would love to see the audience.
Oh,
I'm imagining him presenting to like three people.
Absolutely.
You tell me that the media isn't biased towards Antifa or in favor of. These are journalists, folks. So I said, hey.
I love how fucking like sad he is about it.
Yeah. The gravitas is just the icing on the cake for me.
But he can pull it off.
No.
So he just comes off like super awkward and like,
Oh,
that's interesting. Yeah. You think I'm a loser. Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
You free for a call?
Yeah.
And he laughs and says, no, I have a real job. Not the first time I've heard that. Slam.
Not the first time I've heard that.
I can't believe it.
Job becomes really real when you have a baby die in your arms. Yes, people don't remember or realize what your law enforcement does for you.
Why are babies dying in your arms? How many babies die in your arms?
That's his go-to example for what cops do for you. Instead of baby died in his
hands. Did you kill the fucking baby? Is that what it is?
I mean, this guy is not good at PR.
Look like friggin' Strickland from Back to the Future.
Like, I just imagine him ripping a dying baby from his mother's arms. She's like, no, it's mine.
But I thanked him for the nice optic. And he sent me that.
And he displays the fucking SpongeBob meme. And, Chris, when I saw this, I screamed.
I lost my mind.
I mean, this was in the thick of the pandemic. We were heading into what was going to be a very, very bad fall. Okay. I think this is one of the things that got me through.
It really was blessing.
When I showed people this, they were like, are you fucking kidding me?
Did he really do this? Did he really show this in a fucking PowerPoint?
Him getting owned by a meme.
And again, the gravitas around it.
And he's just like staring at the audience like, Can you believe what is happening?
And he sent me this.
Pretty sad.
Heard that one before. Not the first time.
Job gets really real when a baby dies in your arms.
These are journalism. These are journalists. National. Washington Post type.
Oh, man. Chris, that fucking made my year.
I've watched him many times, and it's still every, like, his timing, while unintentional, is fucking perfect.
It really is.
Just like,
it's almost like he's helping the joke.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
He's like a SNL character or something. So, yeah, just a couple things to address that he said. My email signature does not say that I've worked at the Washington Post or anything like that. It says my work has appeared in.
Yeah.
I had like one byline.
Unless you're a staff writer, that's not how it works.
But like, he portrays me as a guy who's like been a staff writer.
Work for Washington Post.
It's for media. No, people dude, the media is pro Antifa.
He's our journalism.
He gets so like nervous. He can't sound like
just fucks it up.
He really just flusters through it.
Nervous Nelly.
I wonder what would have happened if I called him on the phone. He'd be like, I'm a police officer. I got a baby dying in my arms.
Yeah. This job gets really real.
I've never had anyone be mean to me before.
Just zero presence.
Zero presence.
Like, that would be the worst fucking in-person presentation ever. Just a lot of that.
He sounds like he's losing an argument with his wife, you know? Like, interesting. I've never heard that before. She's like, go fucking take out the trash, you fat bitch. And I think actually I might have emailed him after this. So I was like, hi, Sheriff. I think the presentation went very well today. Thank you. And he replies, no worries, Chris. Thanks again for the optics.
For the optics.
Yeah, that's like, he just learned that
once again, leaving your emails in there. Or was this you?
This was me, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right.
I said, Sheriff, thank you for the optics. And he said, oh, I imagine the spin is coming, Chris.
What the fuck does that mean?
And like, I hope you have... Oh, he says, have a great week. And I say, I hope you have a greater week, sir. These are journalism we can agree.
And then you're just sending fucking emojis to each other.
He sends me a winky face.
Completely owned.
This guy is a podcast, too. We should start a war with this podcast.
Oh, my God.
I really want to. We should send it to him. Mm. Yeah. It'd be pretty fun, wouldn't it?
I think so.
All right. We'll do it. Hey, Ozzy, just so you know, Antifa still rocks.
Yeah.
My entire
body. They effing rock.
Yeah, they effing rock.
They still effing rock. That's great.
Oh, so beautiful.
And, you know, the other great thing, too, is that if he was trying to, like, out you with your, like, leaving your name in there, your name is literally your Twitter handle.
Yeah, no one reached out to me about this.
Not one.
Actually, one person at work did. Did I tell you about that?
I can't remember.
Like, a little bit after this happened, there was a supervisor at work who I knew, but wasn't my supervisor or anything like that. And he just messaged me and was like, can I talk to you for a second? You have time for a phone call? And I'm kind of like, oh, fuck. Like, what is this?
Here we go.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, wait, you did tell me first. Yeah, keep going.
And he was like, hey, are you the Chris Caesar who, like, sent that stuff to Sheriff Ozzy or whatever? And I was just like, oh, my fucking God. Like, I really like this
job. Here we go again.
I'm like, yeah, I'm going to lose the job right now, and it'll be worth it. And I was just like, yeah. And he was like, that was awesome. Nice. And I was like, oh, phew.
You wouldn't believe, Chris, how many people, like, messaged me. And be like, is this your friend, Chris? Like,
really?
Hell yes, it is.
That's funny, man. Yeah. Yeah, I guess he grew up there. That's how he
same thing happened with the Hannity Gargoyles piss thing. Like, three or four people messaged me, and they're like, I think I heard about your friend Chris on the news or on the on XM radio. And people were all laughing about it. I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, that's my buddy.
Hey, Ozzy, thanks for the optics, bitch.
Yeah, thanks for the optics. Well, that's great, Chris. Again, you made my year.
Oh, well, I'm glad everybody liked it. Yeah, no. It was fun to share again.
Ozzy, fuck you.
Hey, Ozzy, sit on and spin, brother.
So, Chris, I think now I want to catch up with an old friend of ours.
Oh, Mrs. Kearney?
Nope.
Yeah, she's just out in the basement.
Nope. The other old friend of ours, Bo Davidson.
Bo Davidson?
Yes,
that old. Are you serious?
What would be the show without Bo?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. We always do say that.
Absolutely. More and more people are saying that, actually.
Bo makes the show go.
Yes, it does.
He really does.
Yeah, it makes it go poopy.
Oh! He, of course, left or got let go from Daily Blast Live. We're not exactly sure on the details there. There does seem to be some circumstantial evidence that it didn't work out.
Hmm.
Apparently, Bo went, I guess, off radar for a little bit. He had a very weird op-ed and, like...
Oh, man. He did a lot of op-eds about Taylor Swift.
Yeah, right? like getting really mad about Taylor Swift.
Jesus Christ.
Just absolutely transparently cool. Then I guess I came across his YouTube channel now.
Oh.
He's making these really stylized kind of like take videos for, what's that, like Falun Gong, like fucking owned media company, like the Epic Times. First episode is We Are Blessed, which is a reference to his own song, which he loves to do. And then the second one is apparently about how he's mad at Taylor Swift.
Oh my God.
And he's mad at Lil Nas X.
Want to hear the inaugural episode here?
Yeah, let's see how it goes. It'll be probably weird.
What was that? It was like a little stinger there that talked about patriotism.
Yeah, and all these insane photos of him.
Passion, patriotism, politics, and pop culture. Chris, those all begin with P.
They really do. He's standing there in, like, a tank top as, like, a cargo airplane lands behind him.
That's awesome.
I believe
that's the Blessed plane.
I think so. It's got to be from the Blessed.
What a fucking loser.
Oh, my God. he's just a fucking bottom as well.
He's an unbelievable. Just an unbelievable idiot.
Oh, my God. It's perfect.
Oh. Welcome to The Bo Show. I'm your host, Bo Davidson. This show is brand new, and I've long thought about how I would want to make a show of this sort.
You're just walking down
actor,
Lonely Road.
A singer, a songwriter, a political panelist, and many of my aspirations have come true. In fact,
Hold on a second. Where the fuck was he a political panelist? He was on one episode of an RT show.
I think he went on there a couple times, but...
Really?
Yeah.
I can only find one.
Oh. Huh. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah, you probably are, Chris.
Okay.
No, but seriously, though, I think to be a political panelist...
Yeah.
I think you gotta do...
Like, you can't be on Daily Blast.
No, you cannot be on the fucking Daily Blast on my shower walls.
Yeah.
The Daily Bust.
He's gotta be referring to Daily Blast, yeah, the Daily Bust.
Yeah.
I remember that.
The show that he got fired from.
For being bad.
Yeah.
I brought the idea of a show like this to Mark Burnett when he was helping Oprah Winfrey launch the OWN network.
Okay, so he goes to a guy, a major fucking producer who produced pretty much every game show that you know of, okay? This fucking hayseed goes to him and is like, hey, have you thought about making a show called The Bo Show about me? And Mark Burnett was probably like, get the fuck out of here. Either bring me my coffee or get the fuck out.
No, he wouldn't let Bo bring him his coffee. Come on.
Bo would fuck it up.
At that time that the 20 finalists to have their own show walked into a room, and Mark told us that none of us had developed our shows and thought them through the way Oprah does. I actually disagreed with Mark because I'd already developed the first few episodes where we talked.
So,
once
again, I want to just convey Mark Burnett, chairman of MGM Worldwide Television Group. He made the show The Apprentice. He made Survivor. Okay.
Yeah, I know this guy.
He's been nominated for a total of, How many regional Emmys has Bo been nominated for?
I think one.
Regional Emmys.
One or two,
right?
Yeah, regional.
Mark Burnett produced TV series have been nominated for a total of 143 Emmys.
Wow.
Real, actual Emmys. Not like regional Emmys given out by your church for participation. He has personally won 12 Emmys.
Wow.
Mark Burnett, okay?
I actually disagree with you, Mark.
Like, Mark, this guy is telling you your show sucks. He's saying the Bo show sucks.
I can't.
It's not fully developed.
I can't believe an actual TV producer.
All of Bo's girlfriends have been fully developed.
I can't believe a big time TV producer thought that a show called The Bo Show, featuring a man named Bo in a fucking room talking to a camera, wasn't well thought out. That's crazy to me that he thought that.
And once again, he cuts to his prop.
Yeah.
The fucking blessed video.
He loves this shit, man.
With these soldiers here who are wishing that they're in combat. they're praying to be shot at instead of being in this video with this fucking loser. Praying for the plane to go down.
They all look very all unimpressed.
Yes.
Never paused it right
no.
there. Wow. Only 45 seconds in.
I actually disagreed. I just have to go back.
Oh, and why was he in a room with like 20 people all pitching things to him? Sounds like a game show.
A songwriter, a political panelist, and many of my aspirations have come true. Mm. In fact, in 2012 or so, I brought the idea of a show like this to Mark Burnett when he was helping Oprah Winfrey launch the OWN network.
So Mark Burnett was already busy with Oprah Winfrey, the richest woman in the fucking world, okay? The highest earning. So Mark Burnett is already working with her on a show.
Oprah Winfrey.
On a network.
Right, yeah. Not even a show.
This fucking twerp comes up to him and is like, oh, Mr. Burnett, I'm thinking about starting a show called The Bo Show.
My name rhymes with show.
Yeah. So I think it'll work.
And I
what a fucking asshole.
We're not even a minute in, it's already wild.
What an incredible asshole he is.
He's starting his first episode just litigating his fucking
yeah. Wait.
Wait. Like, hey Mark Burnett, you fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm on YouTube, bitch. Yeah.
This is a great way to cultivate a career. It's just slander one of the biggest fucking producers in history.
Because he didn't like his idea for the Bo show.
I actually disagree.
Because we already made episodes, and by that logic, any show with episodes is
good. I disagree, sir.
Oh, Bo, you beautiful bitch.
This Bo character might have a point.
I remember at that time that the 20 finalists to have their own show walked into a room and Mark told us that none of us had developed our shows and thought them through the way Oprah does. I actually disagreed with Mark because I'd already developed the first few episodes where we talk about music, the way music influences culture, and how it marks different historical periods of time. I didn't want to copy Oprah and Dr. Phil. I just wanted to be me and hopefully let my curiosity and passion steer the course.
Wait a second.
And that's why you did not get a show from Mark Burnett.
So was he compares himself to Dr. Phil? Is that the kind of talk show that he wanted to do? Because I would watch that every day.
That was all over the place. So Mark Burnett turned him down, and the other, presumably the other 20 people in the room.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Presumably.
He doesn't explain that.
Yeah. And, like, for real, that's just a reasonable thing. Mark Burnett is saying, I'm not going to spend money on you folks because your show was not developed yet. And Bo's like, well, I disagree because I talked about music and this one music video that I did that I keep cutting to, that I keep referencing. And I really just wanted to make a show about me. I don't want to be Dr. Phil or Oprah. Oh, great. Wow, that's... You know, that was the first thing in my mind was, like, you know...
Do you want to be Oprah?
Yeah, do you want to be Oprah?
Yeah.
Like, how do you compare? Where on you, on a scale from one to Oprah, Bo, where do you think you are?
Now, while I did not get the opportunity to host my own show on that network, here I am now.
Oh, wait a minute.
The help of
So he pitched that to Oprah's network? Is that what he's saying?
Well, I think that was the idea, was that Mark Burnett was hearing pitches for shows to go on the OWN network.
Does this guy have any fucking sense at all? That is fucking hysterical.
If I can just remind you, Chris, he was one of the top 10 outstanding young Americans in 2013.
Was it 2013? Wasn't that young in 2013.
NTD and the Epoch Times, America's fastest growing independent news media. The name Epoch refers to historical periods of time.
Oh, thank you,
and
bro.
And the founders of this company believe we live in epochal times.
Yeah, who are the founders of it?
The values we cherish and the records we keep now.
Who are the
directly
who are the founders?
What happens in the future?
Who founded it?
Yeah.
The Epoch Times stands on two main pillars.
Oh.
Truth and tradition. 90% of the media are controlled by just 6 corporations.
Oh, boy.
Who controls yours, Bo?
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. So, I mean, this infographic is not untrue, I guess. Right? So he's saying that Comcast, yeah, they're basically dollar figures next to media. What would you call these?
Conglomerates.
Conglomerates, thank you. It's three in the morning. I've lost words.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's like Comcast, Disney, Sony, Time Warner, News Corp, National Amusements, right? Those are who he says the big 6 are in media, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't imply that your show is independent, just, you know what I
mean?
Yeah.
I mean, so if we were to do a quick Google search on the Epoch Times, because we are living in epochal times.
We sure are.
Whatever the
in a way.
Is that a word? Epochal?
It is, but I mean, it seems kind of redundant to say you're living in an epic.
We're living in times.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I don't fully understand what an epic is, but...
So their headline for their website is Truth and Tradition, Fact-Based, Unbiased. The Epoch Times is a far-right international multi-language newspaper and media company affiliated with the Falun Gong New Religious Movement.
Well, that sounds...
Yeah.
Trustworthy.
Yeah, cool. Very cool, Bo. You're just fucking killing it every fucking day, man.
Corporations. But the Epoch Times is not controlled by any special interests.
Ah,
it does not represent any political party.
Crazy cult.
Chasing the truth is their mission.
Oh.
Can you say that about any of the media you watch today? Tradition is what we are rooted in, unless we forget it. Truth is what we seek, unless we are too feeble to pursue it. Or we permit media to spin us into their narrative.
Does he think he's being profound?
The past election showed us how influential media can be. The emperor no longer has any clothes. Bias is so blatant in news media that it blurs the lines between fact and falsehood.
What do you think Epoch Times does, bro?
As a prime example,
wipe off some
take
of that
the stories of Covington Catholic student Nick Sandman, who was vilified and slandered heinously and incorrectly that he was able to successfully sue major media for rightful damages. And that begs a question.
Didn't they settle that?
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah. For, like, way less than...
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably for, like, a semester.
That's weird
of college somewhere.
That I knew that, like, off the top of my head, yeah. And Bo did a fucking show on it.
Well, you know, check it. Unbiased. You
yeah.
Know,
so, oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Question. Why did the media get it so wrong? Why would they not do their journalistic duty of pursuing the full story? Why go after a minor so viciously?
Who cares?
You know, the major media has lost its purpose, and I feel sorry for real journalists out there who work for them.
Oh, do I even need to make the joke? Bo is worried about people going after minors too aggressively now. Interesting.
Oh, Bo. You're here for a little competition, Bo.
Who just want to investigate and enlighten. But now, journalists are quitting these companies because they don't feel good about what they're being asked to do.
Is that why?
What I want to do is be your advocate. To cut through the noise and BS. I'm a natural storyteller, and that comes from the gift of music.
Who, like, fucking likes this guy? Everything he says is just about how great he is. It's fucking awesome.
Old Midwestern ladies, they like the they love
do.
This guy.
They really like it.
Bo really tells it like it is.
He sounds like I can't believe what an asshole he sounds like.
He's got a face I could trust. He's got a face I could put a 4-course dinner on top of. He's got a big face.
It is a bit big. Yeah.
contains an intrinsic raw purity. There is great truth and tradition in music. It tells us a great deal about our past and perhaps where we are headed.
I've never heard somebody say Bach, so Beethoven, little in so many fucking words. It's got a raw intrinsic tradition, like,
and filled with truth.
100%.
My goal is to give you the full 30,000-foot picture.
Wait a minute. Why does he bring up fucking Beethoven, Bach, and perhaps Bach where you're headed? Beethoven.
Look at the works of Mozart, Bach, Beethoven. They were parts of epochs of time, steeped in tradition and filled with truth.
What?
My goal is to give you the full 30...
Filled with truth.
What is that fucking mean?
They were still attaching leeches to people.
Like,
filled with truth.
Filled with truth. An epic filled with truth and tradition. Like, what? Every fucking time is an epic.
Bo, you are such a stupid fuck.
Hey, I got an idea for a show. How about the No-Bo show? The Bo No Show.
Oh, Chris, Mark Burnett's on the phone. he
wants... Wow, that's a lot of money, sir.
I just ordered 25 episodes.
30,000-foot picture. And no one is telling me what to say or do. I'm beholden to no advertisers or political parties.
Or Falun Gong.
I'm also basing the show in the state of Florida, a state that demonstrated strength, growth, prosperity, and liberty throughout the pandemic. Thank you.
By having exploding pandemic numbers, yeah. Great look, Bo.
When did this come out?
2 months ago.
Fucking idiot.
Thanks to strong leadership. It is also a place of tremendous diversity, particularly minorities who fled communist countries in pursuit of the American dream.
God.
Particularly known for its low taxes, Florida also became an example other states should have followed, and now is one of the most desirable states in the country to reside.
Yeah, and it's going to be underwater in about 10 fucking years, you big... Dumbass.
There's no fucking way that Florida's one of the best places to live. You are out of your fucking mind. You are goddamn lost. I hope you come back to the flock, brother. My God. Is everything okay, Bo? He's like in D.C., which isn't my favorite, but then he was in Colorado for a while, and then...
Colorado's cool.
Colorado's great. Then he goes to Florida, and that's better? Fuck out of here.
Yeah. Sounds like you needed to get away from somebody, Bo, actually.
Jeez.
Big tech giants have monumentally shifted how we think with their own unprecedented...
You're on a big tech giant.
Big tech, media and entertainment.
Site right
and
now.
And you have to really work hard to not be influenced by these giants. It's far more subtle than you even know. I don't want to
be influenced by your fucking giant head, you dummy.
It's far more subtle than you even know.
He's pissing and moaning about the big tech giants. He's on YouTube.
Preach to you or bark at you, though.
It's too much.
You turn on any outlet today and you see pundits yelling at the TV.
What are you doing?
Down your throats. Rants may be fun to watch, but they get us nowhere.
Bo, remember when you ranted about people, quote-unquote, getting all upscale? Specifically black people. Remember that, Bo? Oh yeah, that rant was fun to watch for sure.
Remember when he called me on the phone to scream at me for 20 minutes?
That rant was definitely fun to listen to.
I enjoyed it. I think I learned a lot, actually, so I have to disagree with you, Bo.
My mother has had sex with exactly one person ever.
And it was me. It was me. I'm your dad. That was just a perfect moment in time. He was just saying shit. I didn't even have to try. I was just like, well, that was stupid to say.
Oh, Chrissy.
Oh, Christine.
Christine. Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. That's good. You're not gay. I thought you were gay.
No one is inviting the conversation. That's what free expression is all about. Mm-hmm. Open discussion, not suppression. Yet we have seen more suppression of speech in the past year or so than ever before.
Prove it.
Algorithms determine whether what you say is hateful or misleading. I hope to...
Yes.
A little
algorithms
simplistic.
algorithms that detect you saying a hateful thing, Bo. The computers aren't going to let me talk about the gays anymore.
Yeah, Bo can't say the N-word on something awful anymore. He's really upset.
Disabled as fark.com. It's fark.com username. Idiot.
Oh, fuck, that's good. Yeah, that's a throwback.
Resonate with people of all affiliations, particularly disillusioned people who felt left behind or disengaged in this last election. No one is really including you. You probably don't watch Fox or CNN. And if you do watch any late night talk shows, you're being fed just as much spin as cable news. Johnny Carson never did this. Alexander Micheljohn, one of the grandfathers of free speech in America, believed that for self-government to work, you have to have an informed electorate, which means there must be no constraint on the free flowing of ideas and information. Manipulation, he argues, negates the democratic ideal. Now ask yourself, do you feel manipulated? Do you feel that there is a free flow of information and ideas? Do you feel restricted in your speech? If you feel that way, then I hope to be your advocate. I won't just focus on politics. Some people just find politics to be too much, and understandably so. But I want to make it palatable, digestible, and engaging.
God, he is fucking awful. It's uncanny how bad he is.
I know I keep stopping this, but it's like I have to absorb the last 10 minutes of nothingness that he just said.
It's been on for 5 minutes. He hasn't said a fucking word. He really hasn't said anything.
I want to make it palatable and digestible. Like, that's great.
Yeah, it's a 12-minute video, man.
How?
That's pretty long.
Discuss culture, society, entertainment, music, patriotism, and the
everything.
World we are creating. I will interview thought leaders, journalists, and innovators, and leave no topic off limits.
It's 500 Jordan Peterson interviews.
I will highlight a cross-section of Americans seeking to fulfill their promise to themselves and their families, seeking the American dream. We don't live in a
bad
nation,
video again.
But we've been divided by a bloodthirsty few. We are in the middle of a challenging battle right now, but we can prevail. Pursuing truth and tradition, we can celebrate our individualism, our culture, our values, and the worthy pursuit of the American dream. Alexis de Tocqueville witnessed this when he visited America in the early 1800s. He wrote the book Democracy in America to describe the unique beauty this country had. Why would we want to get away from that? Why be anything other than what made us great? People came here to escape persecution and create their own path with maximum liberty. But that same liberty is now in jeopardy.
How?
So I hope you'll join me on this journey of truth and tradition. I truly appreciate all of you who come along for the ride.
Okay, 6 minutes and 34 seconds. He's got 6 minutes left. What else could he possibly fucking say?
That's a good question.
He's going to repeat everything he just said.
Yeah.
Like three times.
I don't.
I'd like to dedicate this first episode to my late father, Al Davidson, who died in a car crash that we were in last year. He'd want me to speak my mind and elevate the conversation and lift up this great country. Never forget the blessings of this great nation. I want to leave you with a video of a song I wrote in 2012.
We should have seen this coming.
Awaken younger generations to American sacrifice.
Fucking hell.
We are blessed to live in freedom, blessed to live in peace.
I wish there were a version of the song where everybody blows their brains out.
Blessed to gather freely and blessed to have a voice.
Yeah.
And blessed that someone braver fought so we can.
Obviously, you've seen Mr. Show.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the Josh Fenderman skit?
Like,
where, like, the guy keeps coming out and doing the same dance over and over and over again? This is Bo. Bo is Josh Fenderman.
Wow. Yeah, he definitely is.
Oh, what a fucking asshole. I cannot stomach this video. I mean, he talks about the video for probably like another 3 minutes and then plays the fucking stupid video.
He plays the video.
All these people should be dishonorably discharged for being in this video. God.
And that's the end of the video. How long is that video? It's like a 5-minute music video.
God. What a masturbatory opus it pretty much is for him.
Wasn't that funded by the Pentagon or whatever?
I think so, yeah.
So he's taking government contracts.
I think in order to film in the hangar and film on the plane, they had to be funders. The DOD or whatever had to be a funder.
I see.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's way too much thought into that turd of a video.
That was upsetting to watch. Can you please give it a thumbs down?
Yes.
I dislike this.
I am so glad we did this today, Chris.
I'm so glad.
But there is one last thing here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so Chris, where do you want to meet? Because I don't have a lot of time.
When and where, fucker?
I don't have a lot of time.
You sure do have a lot of time now, Bo.
Where do you want to meet? When and where, fucker?
Oh, Bo.
Yeah, I really missed him, man. That was... Oh, man. Remember when I was getting kind of sweet on him toward the end of the last season?
Yes.
And now I hate him again.
Where you were like, you know what? I genuinely love Bo. Those were words that definitely came out of your mouth.
Yeah, well,
I definitely love Bo.
A lot's changed since 2019.
A lot's changed, but then again, nothing has changed. Bo was still a fucking asshole.
He's not going to be restrained like he was on the Daily Blast Live. Yes. You know, he's like unfiltered now.
Yeah, he's going to be blasting all over the place now. Just blasting the internet with all of his shit. With all of his diarrhea. Oh, man. Well, wow. Chris, I'm so glad that we got together today.
Me too. I'm really
and
happy.
And I'm glad that we stuck it out.
Yeah.
It's 4 a.m. now, but I'm whatever. I'm here for it.
Yeah?
I got my third wind.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Do a little
I'm
going
to somehow make it home.
Yeah.
I don't have to drive as far as I used to, so that's nice.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
How far is it going to be?
I don't know. Half an hour.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So I get home at 4:30, take a half hour nap, and then I got to get up for work again. So it's grand fantastic. No, not really.
A half hour, really?
No.
Okay.
Maybe an hour.
Oh, shit, Mike.
No. Probably not. Just go. I'll just call out of work today. I don't care. You know what, Chris? It's all funny money. You know.
That's what I'm saying, yeah, man. Right. That's what I'm trying to tell you, brother.
That's right. So
money
work,
isn't real,
work,
y'all.
If you're looking for me? Fuck you.
Boom.
Yeah. I'm Aiden. I'm 16. Oh. All right. I guess we'll be back.
We right? will. We're gonna do more of this stuff. You fucking animals.
All right. Well, I love it.
Whoop. Whoop, whoop. Whoop, 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 whoop. French.
Well, I don't think diarrhea is funny at all.